So appropriate theme this morning. How many of you are drifting on the way in? Not too long ago, I don't remember the exact time, but maybe some of you remember this because it was in the news. But I was up at my parents' house, and in the background, we had the news on, and we were kind of just talking and discussing things and visiting and catching up. And in the background, I saw this motorboat that had gone over the dam in downtown Minneapolis because the driver of the boat just got too close to the current. The current just sucked the boat over and just demolished this motorboat. It just was totally destroyed. And, you know, to my amazement, I looked at the TV, and I'm like, how in the world did that happen? And my dad very quickly and very wisely said, in a very short term, he wasn't paying attention. And of course, you know, I think, well, yeah, gosh, that would never happen to me, right? Well, fast forward to 2 weeks ago. Andrew, I was dropping Andrew off at school, and usually I'm pretty good about paying attention, and I can honestly say before that moment, I had never gotten into an accident that was my fault. Until that day. And I wasn't paying attention, and it was a day much like today, and I drifted right into the back of a school bus. And quite honestly, it was totally because I wasn't paying attention to what that person was doing in front of me. The light turned green. I thought they were going to go, but instead of going, he crammed on his brakes. And I put my brakes on, and of course, those automatic brakes kicked in. Those things, I hate those things. I'm sorry. But I ran right in the back of the bus. But I think sometimes we can kind of do that. I don't think it's very difficult to get to this place where we begin to kind of drift away. I think a lot of us are very grateful for those speed bumps on the side of the road, right? They kind of warn us when we get a little bit too over to the right and we hear that brrr, brrr, brrr. And that's a warning to us that we're veering off course. Well, today, our text is very much like that. It is a loving warning that if you find yourself drifting or straying away from the faith, that each one of us would pay much more closer attention to the wonderful salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Warnings are kind of all throughout this sermon that's in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 3, there's a warning about hard hearts when it comes to the Word of God. In chapter 5, there's a warning about being slow to learn the Word of God or maybe unwilling to learn the Word of God. Hebrews 10, there's a warning about despising the Word of God, especially when it corrects us. In chapter 12, there's a warning about refusing to hear the Word of God. And so warnings are kind of woven into the tapestry of this book, and today's no different. We see a warning as we come off of chapter 1, and that we remind ourselves that we are to worship the Creator, not the creation, that Jesus is much superior to angels and was a part of the creation process as the second person of the triune God, and that angels were created to serve mankind and to announce the great message of the arrival of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we're going to be reminded today that the message that they brought, the realization of the message that they brought is far more important and superior to the angels and to anything that was created in this world, because the greatest gift this universe has ever seen is the salvation that flows from the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you would, and if you're able, please stand at the reading of God's holy word. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Reading in Christ's name. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and that every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Lord, I thank you for this loving warning that you give us, and you do it totally because you love us. Lord, I pray that every word that proceeds from my mouth would be from you in the ministry and power of your Holy Spirit according to your holy word and not from myself. Jesus, I pray that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise. I pray this in Christ's precious name, and all of God's people said, you may be seated. And so in verse 1, we're reminded that drifting is a slow and gradual process. Drifting is a slow and gradual process. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. So the writer of Hebrews, using the word choice that he used in the original language, is painting a beautiful picture for us to help us understand the dangers of drifting. Now, the word, the Greek word that's translated drift away, is a nautical term about a mooring. I've got a picture of a mooring up here. That's this big, huge steel cast thing that's attached to a big cement slab that holds these huge ships in place. It can't be moved, it won't be moved, and it's very firm. And what it reminds us of is, what's the mooring of our faith? What's the rock of our salvation? The ultimate Sunday school answer is amen. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. This is the message that has proved to be reliable, that God promised a Savior, a Messiah King. He promises progressively all throughout the Old Testament and realized and fulfilled that promise. The promise that was brought to us through the message of angels. It was proved to be reliable because we serve a God who keeps his promise. Amen? And as Jesus, the second person of the triune God, emptied himself, born fully human in a manger in Bethlehem, God kept that promise, and that message proved to be reliable. I'm always moved by Simeon in the temple when Jesus was brought to the temple for the first time, and how he held up the baby Jesus, said, "Now I can die in peace. I have seen the Lord's salvation." What an amazing thing. But I think too often we take it for granted. We hear the saving gospel of Jesus Christ week in and week out, and we're just like, "Oh yeah, he's going to say it again." And it's very easy in our own humanity and in our sin to grow complacent to that message. But I think, as we can see in this word, that we would be encouraged not to. Now, when we drift, you know, sometimes it's okay. I mean, sometimes I remember, you know, back on the farm, I'd take the tractors and we'd kind of slide them sideways in the wintertime, and or we'd have snowmobiles and we'd spin them around on the ice. And sometimes it can be fun. But in a sense, spiritual drifting can actually be quite dangerous. In the next picture here, there's this young man on a rowboat with his back to a waterfall with headphones on and has no idea what's coming his way. He's just out there drifting, and it's okay, and oftentimes we find ourselves in that situation. How does this happen? I think my dad answered correctly: by not paying attention. By not paying much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. I believe it takes a great intentional reliance on the Holy Spirit to not grow complacent to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is contrary to our sinful nature, and I hope we can be honest enough to know that that's really the case. Because on a morning like this, you look outside and you're like, "Oh, it'd be so easy to stay in bed because I've got an excuse now." That ran through my mind, and I'm the pastor. But it is a privilege and honor to come and hear the message that proved to be reliable, to hear the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that the older I get, the more I long to hear that when the Son sets you are free indeed. The older I get, the more I long to hear that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The older I get, the more I long to hear, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." The simplicity of the gospel has become very precious to me as I turned 52 and I'm about to turn 53 here. And the older I get, the more precious this gift becomes. Because the reality is, each year I grow older, is I get closer and closer to dying in this natural world. But I'm reminded through this message that proved to be reliable that this world is not my home. Can anybody say amen? And that we have a promise that is secure. It is the rock of our salvation. In fact, it's even more secure than that ship mooring that we saw on a picture. It is the rock that cannot be moved. It is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. He is the Savior of the world. He has come once, and he will come again. And that's what we stayed anchored to, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. The next thing that we see in our text is that God has fulfilled his promises through Christ's salvation. God fulfilled his promises through Christ's salvation, looking at verses 2 and 3. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. You want to know the most beautiful word in that sentence is the word every. Every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. What does that mean? Jesus paid it all. What a beautiful message that is. Every retribution Jesus paid for through his life, death, and resurrection. Now the writer of Hebrews asks a very important question. And it's a question I believe all of us should answer before we leave here today. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Becky, could you put that picture of the guy in the waterfall back up there? It's too late for this guy, if you really think about it, if you understand currents. There's no motor on that boat. It's too late. He's going over. Like the analogy I gave in the beginning of the sermon, that guy that went over the dam in Minneapolis, there was a point at which he realized it was too late. There was nothing he could do. And his boat was totally destroyed. We are not promised tomorrow. I know it's easier, especially when you're younger, and boy, I believe this. I allowed the things of this world to cause me to stray from the faith. I always kind of thought, like, I got time when I get older. I'll do it when I get older. Man, there were so many times the Lord spared my life. And I believe I'm not exaggerating, and you can check with my wife, but there's probably 5 times I should have died. I've been hit by a car. I had a gun held to my head. I totally total up my motorcycle doing 55 miles an hour down, you know, a freeway. I thought an expedition was going to run me over. There's many times I should have died. And we're not promised tomorrow. And I think many times we find ourselves here, and the only thing that's going to pull you back from that waterfall is Jesus. No human effort is ever going to remove yourself from this situation. Jesus is the only one. He is not only the mooring that we're secured to, that we pay much closer attention to, he is the rock of our salvation. And when you build your house upon the rock, the storms come. We know the old song and the old story that's in the Gospels. And that house stands because it's built on the rock. He who listens to my word is like a person who builds his house on the rock. And so today, if you hear his voice, the voice of Jesus calling to maybe wake us up out of that drifting, that the speed bumps, spiritual speed bumps, are ringing in your head. Brr, brr, brr. Wake up. Wake up and pay much closer attention. We're not promised tomorrow. But the one thing I can tell you is that we serve a God who keeps his promise. And the promise of eternal life is as secure as anything in this world. In fact, it's more secure. And I know it's easy to get distracted. There's a lot of bright and shiny things in this world, isn't there? New cars, careers, more money, relationships. Please don't let them distract you. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. The final thing that we see in our text is that God wants to be known. He wants to save. As we looked at verse 3 and 4, that message that the angels delivered, it proved to be reliable. God kept his promise. He progressively revealed the plan of salvation throughout the Old Testament, realized and fulfilled it in Jesus Christ, and now we proclaim it as part of the believing church. Amen. We have the honor and the privilege of preaching the message of reconciliation, to be the lower lights like Mike sang in that one song, because our true lighthouse is Jesus Christ. He guides us and leads us through the power of his holy word. And here we hear a loving warning from a loving heavenly Father who loves us so much, he sent Jesus Christ to buy us back, to purchase us back from the authority of Satan. Verse 4 is, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. God wants to get our attention. Recently, I went on a trip to Chicago, and it seemed like that 8-hour drive like took like 20 hours. It just, I don't know why, but it used to seem to take like 3 times longer than it should have. Maybe I was just anxious to get there. But every time I saw a sign that was telling me I was getting closer and closer to the city, I became more and more encouraged. And that's really the purpose of the signs and wonders that were revealed all throughout Scripture. The Red Sea experience, that God delivered Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians and brought them to a land he promised to give Abraham, because God keeps his promise. He reminded Israel all throughout their history, do you remember how I bore you up on eagle's wings and I carried you and brought you to myself? And I delivered you, a people for my own possession. And this is not the end of my work, because he continued to promise that I will send a prophet, as it says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, throughout the book of Isaiah, that the servant, Messiah, king, would come and bring salvation, continually reminding the people of Israel that this promise is yet to come, that something greater than any of the miracles I have performed before is coming to you. And now that that miracle has arrived in Jesus Christ, I think the danger that we have now is like, oh yeah, we've heard all this before. And it's so easy to do it. Well, bless God, I've heard this all before. I've studied this text out. I hope that we never believe that there's nothing more we can learn from a passage we know very well. That's a dangerous place to be. It's pride and it's arrogance and it's dangerous. While God bore witness by signs and wonders through not only the Old Testament, but in the person of Jesus Christ, all of those signs and wonders and miracles went to prove and to reveal that Jesus was the Messiah that was promised, that Jesus was the one who would bring salvation not only to the nation of Israel, but to the whole world. Remember that word every in that verse? Every transgression. Man, we should have that circled, underlined, highlighted, because that's us. That all of our sin, past, present, and future, have been nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. Can anybody say amen? How can we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? The answer is we can't. We can't. Not only did God give signs and wonders throughout the Old Testament, not only did he give signs and wonders through the ministry of Jesus Christ in his incarnation, not only did he bring signs and wonders through the works of the apostles, through the power of the Holy Spirit, revealing that Christ was the Messiah, and now the true church, the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, has now been enacted and empowered and inspired by the Holy Spirit because of God's promise. He preserved it for us. And this is just as miraculous as those signs and wonders. These beautiful 66 love letters preserved in the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit that we would do well to pay attention to as a light shining in a dark place that guides our path, wakes us up when we need to be woke up, reminds us of the great promises of God. Not only that, but wait, there's more. Through the salvation of Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit has been poured into each one of your hearts as new creations in Christ Jesus. And that is the guarantee, the deposit, the down payment of the eternal life promise that each of us have in Christ Jesus as believers. Amen? The ability for us to understand God's holy word only comes from the Holy Spirit. That's a gift. So if you are understanding what I'm talking about, that's because of the Holy Spirit. That too is a gift that we oftentimes take for granted. The ability to have the gift of hospitality, the gift to be able to teach or to do anything that the Lord has called us to, those spiritual gifts are reminders to us, like those signs that showed me I was getting closer and closer to Chicago. There was one point at which I was going to go into the city. I was really thankful for that, by the way. But at Jesus' second coming, we get to go into the city. Amen? Where the new heavens and the new earth will come down. Sin will be eradicated. Can anybody say amen? Can you imagine waking up? Well, maybe we don't even sleep. Can you imagine having a full 24 hours where you don't sin? I'm having a tough time thinking about that. You'll never be misunderstood again. You'll never feel lonely again. You'll never feel alienated. You'll never, ever feel worthless ever again. Can anybody say amen? That's what we pay attention to. That's the rock that we cling to. The lighthouse that guides us in troubled times. The lighthouse that gives us direction in a world that doesn't even know what the truth is anymore. But there is one truth that you can count on. And I'm telling you, Abby, you had me too. I thought that water was going to pour out of that jar. And it reminds me of how much more I have to learn. But I want to. God's not done with me yet, and I'm so thankful for that. God has brought me so far from that revival he gave me at the age of 24, but can I tell you that I'm more excited about what's in the future than what lies behind? Because I really want this in my life. I want to be a Christian that God is proud of. I want to be a husband that my wife is proud of. I want to be a dad that my kids are proud of. And I don't do it for any glory to myself. I do it because I love Jesus. And the legacy that will be left in my family will give honor and glory to God because it goes beyond our here and now situation, doesn't it? And so if you're drifting, if you're coming close to that waterfall, do you realize that there's a legacy that God wants to leave in and through your life, in and through your family, and in and through the life that God has for you that is so profound and so beautiful? And we just don't want to see it sometimes because we focus so much on the here and now and what we don't have and what isn't happening in our life. And so I'm asking you, begging you, as your sheepdog in the Lord, as your brother in Christ, get your eyes off of the things of this world. I know I quote this hymn a lot, and I'm just probably never going to end quoting it because I love it. We say, Sue played it earlier during the prelude time. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. If you know the words, continue. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. My question is, do you believe that? And I pray that all of you would get to a place through the power of the Holy Spirit that where you can say, yes, I absolutely believe that. As Jesus stood in front of a tomb of a dead man, his sister standing before him, as Jesus was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, he asked her a very profound question. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord. Help my unbelief. May we cling to Jesus, the King of glory, who has truly paid it all, who has provided a means of salvation to us that is available and inexhaustible to any and all, and how he has poured out his Holy Spirit to equip you and empower you to be molded into the person he's called you to be. Will you let him? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart like so many people do. I'd love to close out our service confessing a portion of scripture that comes a couple chapters later, and hopefully you can read it on the screen. May we confess this together, and may this become our prayer and proclamation as we leave here today, wanting Jesus to use our lives to not only proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with and without words, but to cement in our heart an assurance of faith that brings us peace and joy in the midst of a sinful and fallen world. This is truly my prayer. As we confess this, may it become yours as well. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is most certainly true. Amen. Lord, I thank you for this text and this reminder that you are the founder and perfecter of our faith. You are the rock of our salvation. May we cling to that. May we hold fast to that all the days of our life. Help us to stay focused on eternal things, to have an eternal perspective through our everyday life. Help us in our frustration at our homes and maybe our disillusionment. Wake us up in those things. Maybe our denial. Lord, bring us to a place that would glorify you. Lord, not because we have to, but Lord, because we get to, and hopefully because we want to, because of what you have done for us. I thank you, and I pray all these things in Christ's precious name, and all of God's people said,